As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
Parola a Lolita.
Yay! Thank you. Yay! Okay, so I've been really excited about this part. So, as most of you might know, we are currently in production of the Voyager documentary, which was supposed to be for the 25th anniversary of Voyager, but now is going to be for the 28th or 29th anniversary because of COVID, because we lost a couple years of producing and in production. But we were very lucky. In March of 2020, we went on a Star Trek cruise with almost the entire cast of Voyager. So we were able to get a lot of footage shot on that cruise. And of course, we got off March 8th, and in the United States, everything shut down on the 17th. So we got that much done. And during COVID, we were able to do a few interviews, but we waited until last summer. And we had, how many of you watch, what's Seth MacFarlane's show? The Orville. How many have watched The Orville? So the guys that build the sets for The Orville are huge Star Trek fans. And because Brannon Braga runs that show, he got us in touch with them. And they built us the most amazing sets and did not charge us a dime. Yeah, so we were, we had a studio in Burbank in Los Angeles where we shot for 8 days straight, and I'm doing almost all the interviewing for the documentary, and during that 10 days or 8 days of shooting, I probably interviewed over 60 people, actors, behind the scenes people, you know, writers, producers, whoever. We also were able to go up to Jeri Taylor's home, and you know Jeri was co-creator of Voyager. God bless her. She's still around and still one of my dearest friends. And the documentary team and I went up to her beautiful home in Northern California and interviewed her. And we also got to interview Rick Berman, who also obviously co-created Voyager, at his home in Los Angeles. And Rick said he would do the interview as long as Brandon Braga was with him because Rick was afraid he wouldn't remember anything all those years ago, which I understand, but it's funny. Everybody that I've gone to say, you know, we'd like to interview for this, I'm not going to remember anything. It's 25 years ago. But it's funny how much you actually do remember once you start talking about it, because I had the same problem. I mean, I can't remember the name of each episode or anything like I used to be able to, but, you know, a lot of it comes back. I interviewed Eric in London in November. I interviewed Kate Mulgrew in London in November at the Destination show. So you'll see that a lot of locations are different. We interviewed Bob Picardo on a set for, like, one of the cooking shows on the TV channel. Food Network channel. So because we weren't able, obviously, to get everyone in those 8 days in Los Angeles. But you'll see that set looks really cool. So anyway, I think we have two little sneak peeks. I'll show you the first one first. And so enjoy. I'm not in the way, am I?
No.
Okay.
We're on the water.
We're on the water.
He's my translator, by the way, just in case. This is instead of closed captioning.
I'm going to translate you into German, so
all right.
Go ahead.
Star Trek The Cruise 4.
Star Trek Die Sternflotte.
And I just want to say right now that I apologize to all of our German fans.
Genau, ich möchte mich melden, Schmidt.
For my tasteless colleague, Ethan Phillips.
Ich bin scheinfroh.
The cruise is a land-based convention times 100. There's just a lot going on.
Live on and prosper.
Think outside the box.
You get to see other sides of the actors. That's fun for them, but also fun for the fans because we're all in the same boat.
Captain, that's your
ticket. The pleasure is all mine.
Your chair was probably better than this one. Here you have it only as a joystick.
As a joystick?
Yes.
Captain Janeway might take that very little.
I just turned 70 years old. I went to the doctor and he didn't bother to take an x-ray. He just held me up to the light.
We're on a little away mission in Puerto Rico. I've disembarked with the doctor from Voyager. Running without the captain. We'll see how it goes.
Let's have a look at the mash.
That's a good mash.
To live long in Mofongo.
I did a snorkeling excursion. So we went to Trunk Bay, which is in St. John's.
We're ready to go snorkeling.
It would help if you put the snorkel in first.
We did a group photo at the end in the water. I started entertaining the fans that came, and now they're surrounding me. But the funniest thing is watching people that were sitting on the beach that were not part of the Star Trek cruise. They're looking out there, and they're like, what is going on? Who is that Asian Jesus out there?
So let's kick it off. Let's get started. We're going to bring everybody out.
We're here because this is the 25th anniversary of Star Trek.
Where?
We had almost our entire crew here.
I flew from Australia just to be here. It was about 24 hours of traveling. I never thought that I would get to experience seeing all of the people who have brought so much joy into my life so closely. It's been incredible.
Captain, based on our readings, it appears we've been transported back in time to the birth of the universe.
I'll tell you why Voyager has the popularity that it has. It's because it harkens back to the original series. And that's what initially hooked people into Star Trek, was discovering.
Ensign?
I've got an idea. It's tricky, but I think it could work.
That's the one thing that I really connected with in Voyager, is the fact that there was a guy that looked like me.
In the 90s, I was the only Asian male series regular on television.
Mr. Paris, plot a course for Chakotay's last known coordinates.
Aye, Captain.
The legacy of Voyager is a female presence in the Trek universe. That broke brand new ground, and that's the legacy of the show.
Voyager gives me hope that one day there will be a female captain who can walk onto that bridge and no one's going to question her.
It was time for a female captain. But it was really rolling the dice because millions and millions of dollars were at stake. But it worked in the end.
So that's also a great sales pitch for anyone who wants to go on a Star Trek cruise, because you can tell that's a lot of fun. So that is, if you're a Star Trek fan, that is all-encompassing of being on a ship for 7 days with all the Star Trek actors you could ever imagine. So, yes. Oh, this is so different than what we did. That was fun, too, but this is... You could see they literally turn those ships into the Enterprise. Or you get in the lifts into the elevators, and they are completely encompassed with everything you can imagine to make it look like a turbo lift. They change all the restaurants into the names of all the characters. All the food, all the menus are changed to Star Trek food. So if you can afford it and you're interested, they're a lot of fun. So, but anyway, going back to the documentary, that obviously all of that was shot pre-COVID on the cruise, and all of this, of course, will end up being edited into a two-hour, you know, DVD. How many of you have gotten to see the DS9 documentary that was done? Okay, so this will be similar, but obviously different actors, and you know, we're still trying to work out what we want to do. For those of you who have seen it, the DS9 documentary, there was that whole the writer's room segment, which was fantastic. You know, the writers got together, the original writers, Ira Behr, Ron Moore, Renee Echevarria, and they spent a day pretending to write the next season, or the next, season 8 of DS9. Obviously, we don't want to repeat that for Voyager, so we're still kind of working out those ideas. Garrett might have told you yesterday, if not, he'll tell you today, that he's on his way tomorrow morning to Bordeaux to go to the European Space Agency. They approached us. They're huge Star Trek fans, especially huge Voyager fans because of Captain Janeway. And so Garrett is being sponsored by them to go up in what they call the Vomit Comet. And our documentary crew is already there, and so they're going to get to film. They can't go in there with him, but they have their own crew that'll film once he's inside. But my crew will be able to do a lot of stuff with Garrett there while he's there. So that's pretty exciting. That's something obviously new for this documentary. But also what was exciting about this documentary, we broke a record. This was the highest funded documentary ever by crowdfunding, ever in history. So what we made in the first day was almost what we made for DS9 in the whole run of the crowdfunding. So it was pretty amazing. Then we knew that we were really smart to be doing this, because Voyager has sustained, but it has now a whole new audience. There's a whole new group of people watching Voyager, and I have to believe it's because of the female captain. And, you know, the rest of the crew, obviously, in the writing. But, you know, there's still these young women that are being inspired by Captain Janeway to become, you know, astronauts or doctors or whatever they can be. You know, the message is clear that they can do whatever they want in life. So, yeah, so it's been really eye-opening. And the first day, I can't remember the exact statistics. I just know that we had worked so hard, and I get teared up thinking about it now, because we'd worked so hard to do this crowdfunding. It's an enormous amount of work. It's crazy. And I woke up at 6 in the morning because the crowdfunding launched so you guys would wake up to it and people in Australia would wake up to it. So we were the last one getting it. And by like 7 or 8 in the morning in California, we'd already made like $100,000. It was like, oh my God, they do want it. They do want it. So it's been pretty exciting. It's been really fun reminiscing with everybody. You know, we've had... all great interviews, and so many of them have ended up very emotional in a good way. I mean, people have been just breaking down crying, remembering what it was like to work on the show, or just brought up memories. Like Robert Beltran just sat and sobbed during the interview for a while. But it wasn't about Star Trek. He started talking about his first acting coach who gave him the inspiration to keep going, you know, and it kept him going. So it's been really a really fun project as I sit here and cry. No, but it has been. And we have a ways to go yet, but we probably have about 90% of the interviews done. I haven't been able to interview Roxanne Dawson because I don't know if any of you follow her career, but she is working like crazy. She directs and produces, and this last year she's pretty much been based here in Europe. She does a show called Foundation that's shot over here, and she's just really super busy. So I have to get her. And I haven't been able to interview Jeri Ryan yet because, as you know, she's on Picard, and during COVID they had a very, very strict policy on the set, and they really didn't want the actors to do anything even on the weekends because they had already had to shut down twice for COVID. And when you shut down any business, it's expensive, but when you shut down a TV show or a movie for a day or two or three or four, it's millions of dollars. So, but they've wrapped now, so I'll be able to interview her. So it's been really fun. And when this will come out, I don't know. I mean, we should have been able to say 2023, but realistically now, with the 2 years that we lost, it'll probably be maybe the end of 2023, early 2024. But it's coming along very well. So anyway, I'm glad I got to show you that. I have another one I'll show you, but I just thought maybe if anybody has any questions or comments, that we could do that before we show the other one. Yes, Flora. Oh.
And she said the same line of Captain Janeway. Was it the stuff in the Nebula?
Yes. Yeah, that's Captain Janeway's big line. And I had forgotten about her obsession with coffee, Captain Janeway. And one of the things that's part of crowdfunding, I don't know if you've ever donated to crowdfunding. I was not that familiar with it myself. But obviously, we don't just want to take your money. We want to give you something in return besides the film. So we have all of these, you know, what we call swag bag things to give you. And one of them is a Janeway coffee mug. And people are going crazy over that coffee mug. And I had forgotten that whole twist. But speaking of Samantha, so there's a couple other projects in the works as well. Nana Visitor, along with this same company, 455 Films, she's doing a documentary called Women of Trek. And about a month ago, Samantha came to Nana's house, and Nana was interviewed her for that. So that was pretty exciting. We're also just starting a new documentary. Most of you, especially if you know the history of Star Trek and Hollywood, Michael Westmore, who's the famous makeup family, Michael worked on every show of Star Trek, starting with The Next Generation through Enterprise, and then he retired. But his family's huge. I mean, they started in the industry in England in the 1800s. And all of his uncles, he had five uncles, and they each worked at a major studio in Hollywood in the golden era. Anyway, my crew and I are doing a documentary on the Westmore family. So it's not going to just be about Star Trek, which is really exciting. It'll be about the history of Hollywood. And Michael Westmore, who, again, he's retired. He's in his 80s, but he's really sharp. His memory is incredible. I mean, so we've started that, and we're real excited about that, too. So, but, yeah, it's kind of funny how it all intertwines, like, with Samantha. And so, yeah, Nana was pretty excited to get to interview her. I mean, just an astronaut anyway, but someone who's such a fan and inspired by Star Trek. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, oh, I'm sure. So, anyway, anybody else have anything to ask or question, or Eric?
My name is Eric.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding you. Eric was so nervous when I interviewed him. It was cute. I made Cade cry, yeah. Well, no.
Did you interview yourself?
No. Who interviewed me? Now I think Dave Zappone. Dave did. Dave interviewed me. So I don't know if I'm in this next sneak peek. I can't remember. But yeah, I was interviewed the week that we had the beautiful set built. So I was very lucky to get to be interviewed on that stage. Well, no, because we had to rent a soundstage, but we do have it in storage. And the way that those guys from Orville designed it is that if we wanted to do a smaller scale set, we can put it together. You want us to ship it to you? It's a holodeck set. It's really cool. And everybody that walked in, you know, even the actors were like really blown away. So that was exciting. So, but yes, we can use it again. We haven't because it's too expensive to do something like that for just one interview or one day. So like I said, we've gone to different locations to interview people. But the actors and the behind the scenes people that got to come in to Burbank that week were pretty, I think they were pretty impressed with what we were able to do. So. And the fact those guys didn't charge us was amazing. Yes. So, really, I mean. Doug Drexler was not one of them, and I'm so mad that I can't think of these two guys' name. They work with Doug, though. Doug was too busy to help us out, but he said, you know, he was said if on their free time if they want to do it, and man, they whipped that thing together, the designs, and got it all built, and it was incredible. Oh, they'll get credit, yeah. Oh, they'll definitely get credit. So, and it was exciting because, like I said, they were Star Trek fans. They also work with Andre Bormanis, who works on that show. So, and we interviewed Andre as well. I don't know that he's in this sneak peek. I'm not sure what Joe put together. My editor, he puts together little sneak peeks for different places, so I'm not sure what we're going to see today, but it'll be good, good. Oh, yes, Andre Bormanis. He's going to come back, yes, which will be really great. He really wanted to come this year, but he and his wife just couldn't work it out. But they are definitely coming next year, yes. Yes, he's representing of the Orville. And also, he and Brannon just wrapped, I think they did 3 seasons back-to-back of a new series with Bill Nye, the science guy. Yeah, they just did that, which is also a Seth MacFarlane production. So, yes, Brannon did another season of Cosmos, too. That I'm not sure of. I would think it would be 3. It seems like it's been around for a while. Yeah, I mean, who would have thought Brannon, the intern, has this... Yeah, Brannon and Andre have literally worked side by side since they left Star Trek. There's been very few things that they haven't done together. So Andre was telling me the other day when I saw him at Paramount that the one time he didn't work for Brannon, he worked for Ken Biller, and it was the worst experience of his life. So, yeah. But anyway, anybody else? Don't be shy. Okay, well, let me show you the next one then. Why don't we show the next one? Let's see what we got here.
Robbie McNeil, take one. Mark.
Oh, hi. Good to see you. Didn't hear you come in.
Bum 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 bum
I believe the first mention of Voyager and my being involved in the creation of it came from Rick Berman.
Michael Piller and I decided that it would be great to have Jerry join us because we wanted to have a female captain. And the thought was it would be great to have a female creator and executive producer as well.
Now, the truth is, Rick Berman and Michael Piller did not need me to create Voyager, but they perceived that they did because they wanted a woman. For once, being a woman worked in my favor.
I think my contribution was pushing them to cast Geneviève Bugeaud.
Oh, Geneviève. Oh, how I miss thee, Geneviève. Well, you know, one of the things that made me want to be on the show was Geneviève Bugeaud would be the captain.
And I think it was just a handful of days before that just hit a brick wall.
So there I was on the bridge with Rick Colby at the helm, directing. He said, this is your living room. This is yours. It belongs to you. And I walked out, and by God, it did. And they were all on the lip of the stage. The brass, like this, staring at me. And they continued to do that Lolita for the entire first season. I thought, you're not going to win, boys. So you're welcome to come, but I'm going to win. And I did.
Being on a series in the 90s, I was the only Asian male series regular. The only Asian male series regular on television. That's kind of shocking if you think about that. You're like, what? Is that real? Yeah.
When Jennifer got fired, all of a sudden, the possibility that this is not going to be a 7-year run for any of us was real. And all the things that come with being on a hit TV show for 7 years and the knowledge that the studio is behind it running for 7 years, all of that went away for all of us. Didn't feel as safe anymore.
It was sad to see Jennifer leave. Jennifer had a soulful quality about her. There was a beautiful quality about her. But you got Jerry Ryan in to replace. She was a great addition to the show.
The Vulcan characters, people always assume that they don't have emotions. Actually, they have a tremendous amount of emotions. The character's culture almost destroyed itself because of their emotions. When you play them, you want to just barely see what's under the surface, and you know it's there.
All the Starfleet cast, they all have to be stalwart, brave, and true, but I got to play all these negative characteristics that the audience weren't used to see coming out of a Starfleet officer. I could be cowardly, I could be self-involved, I could be completely pompous and overblown. And then, in the clutch, I could do my job well.
I think what really contributes to our unique chemistry on Voyager is that everyone has a sense of humor. Everybody is very funny. They have fabulous and unique senses of humor.
You don't know how to do a sound bite. You know what a sound bite is?
Why should I know how to do a sound bite? I don't have to pimp anything. My stuff speaks for itself.
No,
it
doesn't.
I don't have to promote it.
You mean, yeah.
Why, when I can rely on you to do it so well?
Okay, there you go. Okay, so in other words, as he did on Voyager for 7 years, he's riding my coattails.
That's right.
And happily.
And happily,
and
indeed.
Freely, and doesn't even hide.
He does all the work. I just scoot along next to him, and I get some of the credit.
And no, you take all of the credit.
Well,
Captain Janeway and Chakotay were getting so close, and then she saw a monkey and forgot all about me.
He was a very attractive man, Robert Beltran. Kind and funny and a wonderful guy. But I think he found it dispiriting that... Maybe not that we didn't have a romance. I don't think he cared about that so much as that the relationship between Chakotay and Janeway did not really intensify.
I remember walking in one morning, and Kate was already sitting in the captain's chair, and we all came out, and we were all there for the first rehearsal of the day, and Kate looks at all of us, and she says,
"So, who got laid this weekend?"
When I play a role, I always have a secret that I have. And nobody knows it but me, but I can say it now. But my secret was that Neelix was in love with the captain. So if you watch the scenes, you'll notice that whenever she's talking, I'm just like gazing at her. It's just something I had. And I told her later on after we finished filming her stuff.
Rick Berman, I said to him that very first day, I said, "Hey, Rick, by the way, just want you to know I want to direct. And he sort of laughed, like you're laughing right now. He laughed. And he said, sure, sure, maybe, you know, season 5 or 6 or something. And I said, no, I want to direct this season.
Oh, yeah, this one. I meld.
Very strong.
It was a chance to be able to break out of the Tuvok mode.
Powerful.
And to work as an actor, which I actually trained to do, to show a range of emotions.
You know, I'm a admirer and an acolyte of Gene Roddenberry's. I remember his telling me that the Starship Enterprise was a metaphor for Starship Earth, and the strength of this starship is its diversity coming together. We didn't have a woman as the captain. So to see that finally in the Voyager was wonderful to see Gene Roddenberry's vision being filled in more in detail.
So, George, most of these interviews were a couple hours, and George said, you know, I'll come in for a half hour. Well, I knew that was a joke. 3.5 hours later, you know, he just loves to talk. God bless him. And he was in Voyager, for those of you who don't remember that. That's why we interviewed him. So he's wonderful, though. And we've interviewed a lot of other people that aren't from Voyager but were in Voyager. Like Armin Shimerman didn't remember that he was in the pilot, but he was in the pilot. So we interviewed Armin. What's wrong? Oh, yeah. Ooh, let there be light. Thank you. So, yeah, Armin had forgotten completely that he was in the pilot of Voyager, but we brought him in, and trying to think who else from other shows that had been part of Voyager at some point. But a lot of, again, we've interviewed a lot of the behind-the-scenes people. And I know at the beginning of this, that obviously was Jeri Taylor, the gray-haired gal, and Rick Berman and Brannon Braga. Oh, you want to see my shirt? I have these T-shirts made for the Voyager documentary crew for the cruise. There's only 12 of them in history.
Really?
Yes.
Only 12?
Only 12. Yes. Okay. So anyway, thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed those.
Okay.
So, good.
Yeah,
it's going to be really fun.
I already saw.
Yeah, you got the real sneak peek, didn't you? So, does anybody have any questions now? Yes, Gino.
So, if I understood it correctly, George Takei's interview was longer than his whole part in...
Yes, exactly. Want me to stand up again? Okay. Yes, you come up here. You should have been up here anyway.
No, I'm not in the documentary.
Take your mask off.
Ah, yes, sure. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, it's good. Thank you for doing that. So, yeah. Yeah, and George just loves to talk. So cute. But that set, you could tell which was the holodeck set. Looks really cool. And for a lot of the actors, what the editor did, you saw that Robert Beltran and Tim Russ had a computer on their lap. So what Joe, the editor, did is he put together about a 6-minute montage of a lot of their episodes to help them remember stuff. And it was really nice. Tim and Robert really both appreciated that because they loved it. They were like, oh, wow, I forgot I did that. I forgot I kissed that woman, you know, just stuff. So...
I think what is really interesting is that it clearly shows that they were all getting very emotional.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody was really supportive and wants to be part of this documentary. You know, even Rick Berman, you just saw a short bit of him, but, you know, he, again, I spent 2 hours with him, and he was so, he was... happy to do it, but he was worried about doing it because he couldn't remember, and that's why he wanted Brannon there. But once he started talking, it all was fine. So, but you never know the things you run into, not just with a documentary, but filming. He wanted, this was pretty much, we interviewed Rick in the height of the COVID. And so he wanted to do it at his home, but in the backyard. And we did it on a weekend thinking, you know, traffic wouldn't be so bad and noise and stuff. He didn't tell us that he lives under the flight pattern of Los Angeles International Airport. So every 5 minutes, so it was quite a challenge that day. And then one of his neighbors, who's, I can't remember who he is, some famous person, they live in these big mansions, of course. One of them was having a pool party with this music blasting, and it's just like, but we got it done, and that's what editing is for. But it was just like, every sentence we'd have to stop and let the plane fly over. But so there's always a challenge, I guess, in anything. But so it's definitely coming along very well. Yeah, interviewing Kate was quite an experience because, again, I had anywhere from an hour to 2 hours for most people. I had a half hour for her, literally a half hour. There was no going over that time limit because we were in London at a convention and she had to leave. And so that was, it wasn't nerve-wracking for me per se, but it was really intense, I guess, because I just knew I had to get the important things out. Because when you start talking to people, just like if you or I were talking just in general, you could start out talking about the weather, but 2 minutes later you're talking about politics or whatever. And that's what a lot of these interviews have done. I'll ask a question, but it doesn't mean we have to stick to that subject. But with Kate, I needed her to stick to those subjects, you know, Genevieve, the relationship with Robert Beltran, the relationship with Jerry Ryan. So, but she was great, and she's obviously professional, and she knew what she wanted to say. So she was very, not rehearsed, but she was prepared. So, but it was very quick. And as I told the few people that were in here yesterday, we shot her, and Eric as well, but we shot her in a pub. That was in a pub. And obviously the pub wasn't open, but the bar was there full of all the bottles, and it was her assistant's birthday, and Kate likes to, you know, have her little shots of whiskey anyway, so we wrapped, and she said, I said, thank you, Kate, for your time. She's like, hold on, so she said, get one of those bottles of scotch or whiskey off the wall, and get 8 shot glasses. We're doing a toast to the journey. Because at the end of each interview, we didn't show you that, but because the title of it's To the Journey, we've asked each person that we've interviewed to take a bottle or champagne or whatever we have on the set and look into the camera and toast to the journey, or however they would like to say it. So she did her toast, but Kate wasn't done. She wanted to toast to all the documentary crew, which was very nice, and her assistant. So anyway, the whiskey comes, and we all do this, and she leaves. And within like 10 minutes, the whole bar staff, because the pub upstairs was open, the manager came running down. We understand you stole a very expensive bottle of whiskey from us. And we're like, we didn't steal it. We're going to pay for it. But, you know, it was in the heat of the moment. Do you know who Captain Janeway is? Do you know who Kate Mulgrew is? Of course, they had no clue, so it didn't matter to them. But what were we going to say to Kate? No, you can't have that bottle. So it's like, no, it was going to happen. So, but she was very sweet. You know, that was a nice little added touch that we didn't. One of our crew has that bottle. Yep, they brought it home. Someday they maybe get Kate to sign it or something. Also, I don't know if you could tell that there was one of her costumes was behind her on a statue. That was her admiral costume that she wore. And she admittedly said, wow, I can't believe I ever got into that thing. Because, you know, it's a lot of years later for all of us, right? So, but that was cool. That was one of her original costumes, and that was in the museum that they had at the convention, and they let us borrow it for the interview. So, you know, it's things like that that kind of make everything a little special, too. So, but anyway, I'm glad I got to bring you guys that. It was a treat to do that. So we have like just a couple minutes left. If anybody has anything else they want to say. Oh, Eric, you like to ham it up all the way. He's like, I know, I'm looking at the clock. 7 minutes, but that doesn't mean I have to. If nobody has anything to say, I don't need to torture them. Oh. So, but get.
Any questions?
No reason.
angry that you have forgotten about, that someone reminisced
about? Me personally, or someone else up there that... You know, that's a good question, but that's a hard answer because, yeah, I think almost everyone I interviewed had forgotten something and remembered it as we were talking or, you know, well, George had forgotten he was in it, and so did Armin. So, you know, those were surprises, I suppose. But I think there was a lot of things. And I think when the documentary is finished, some of that will probably be in there, where you'll see one of the actors or one of the producers or whoever going, God, I'd forgotten all about that. I mean, I do know it happened to me through the whole interviewing process. You know, even though I was the one doing the interviewing, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot that happened. And, you know, a lot of reminiscing that you don't see these people, some of them for 25 years. You go way back. So, yeah, that's a good question. I think you'll see some of that in the documentary. So, no.
Okay, then I just want to say once more how we. Well, first of all, the documentary seems incredible. We hope to see it very soon, as soon as possible.
Yes, me too. It's always fun, and I always eat way too much food. I know. Oh, my God. It's so hard to explain to people. It's like, you don't know how much food we eat every day. But thank you. And keep updating. We have a bunch of, there's different websites you can go to look for it. Voyager Documentary has a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, all kinds of stuff where you can get updates.
I have
yes, you do. So thank you.
Thank you.
Avete ascoltato Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia. Da un'idea di Paolo Bianchi e Omar Serafini con il contributo cibernetico del Cylon Prof. Massimo De Santo. Potete seguirci ed interagire con noi sul nostro sito fantascientificast.com, sul profilo Instagram Fantascientificast, sul canale Telegram Fantascientificast e sulla nostra community Telegram t.me/fsccommunity. Se siete particolarmente timidi, potete utilizzare la vecchia, cara e affidabile posta elettronica scrivendoci all'indirizzo redazione@fantascientificast.com. Tutte le puntate sono disponibili sul nostro sito e su tutti i principali servizi di streaming on demand. Se volete sostenere il nostro progetto offrendoci una birra romulana o un gotto esplosivo pangalattico, troverete tutte le informazioni e modalità nell'apposita sezione del nostro sito. Il podcast ha carattere esclusivamente ricreativo e divulgativo. Non ha alcun scopo di lucro e viene diffuso gratuitamente. Fantascientificast è una produzione amatoriale. Non si intende infrangere alcun copyright, i cui diritti appartengono ai rispettivi detentori. Autorizzazione SIAE 5612I5359. Nessun byte e nessun tribolo sono stati maltrattati durante la produzione di questo podcast. Val 9000 e l'equipaggio di Fantascientificast vi augurano lunga vita e prosperità e vi danno appuntamento al prossimo episodio lungo la rotta di Kessel. E ricordate, la fantascienza finge di guardare dentro il futuro, ma in realtà guarda il riflesso della verità che è davanti a noi. Fantascientificast, podcast di fantascienza e cronache dalla galassia.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.